The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakirah. The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakirah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاه والسلام على خاتم النبيين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى اليك وصحبه يا حبيب الله صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله.
It is the 21st night of Jumad al-Ula, 1446 Hijri. With respect to this, let me present the virtue of Durood from page number 21 of Arba'ini Atar.
قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم من صلى علي الفاظ حمد كتفه كتفي على باب الجنة.
Whoever sends Durood upon me 1,000 times at the door of paradise, he will be shoulder to shoulder with me.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد.
Dear Amiri Ahli Sunnat, kindly state whether a Muslim comes to know a few days before death that he is about to die. I have heard some people say that 40 days before or a few days before, a person comes to know through some signs that he is about to die. Please guide us regarding this and also pray for the forgiveness of my father. Jazakallahu khaira.
If it were so, then no one would die while drinking alcohol. No one would die while fighting and quarreling. Many people die while committing sins. Everyone knows. As for the pious bondsmen of Allah, they are an exception. I mean, they are among the exceptions whom Allah Almighty informs, and they know when their death will occur. The rest of the general public does not know when death will come. Otherwise, their life would become bitter. This too is a blessing of Allah that we do not know. And we cannot do anything. As some people desire to see jinns, so I say that jinns are not visible. This is Allah's mercy and blessing for us. If they were to become visible, how many would there be right now in the skies? Or someone sitting next to you? Suppose he appears, what would our condition be? Sitting inside the cabin and staring intently like a crazy person, I would not even be able to speak. I would get frightened, right? If he is sitting quietly but is not visible, then this is the safest for us. The messengers of death come, but one does not realize that these are messengers. Now there are white hairs. They are due to flu. So one will realize when the angel of death arrives. People say that they turned white due to the flu, whereas white hair is the messenger of death. It is the herald. And look, there is the story of a king, that a king had kept a coffin in his house so that by looking at it, he would remember death. One day he looked in the mirror in the morning after waking up, and he saw a white hair in his beard. He said, "Now remove the coffin. The messenger of death has reached me. Now I will remember death by looking at the white hair in my beard. But as for us, our entire beard turns white, yet such heedlessness has overtaken us that we do not even remember death. Rather, hearing the mention of death spoils our mood. We go off, saying, 'Brother, change the topic. Talk about something else. May Allah Almighty show mercy.'" Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu anhu used to gather scholars and listen to the mention of death and would weep in such a manner as if a funeral was placed before him. May Allah Almighty enable us.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Amiri Ahli Sunnat, kindly state whether drinking water after eating is harmful. Is it mentioned in the blessed Ahadith?
I have not come across it in Ahadith. However, physicians have differing opinions on this. But yes, it is commonly said that one should not drink water immediately after eating. People do drink water right after eating. Generally, this happens. And they drink very cold water. Then they say that the stomach is disturbed. So it is Allah's mercy that only the stomach is disturbed, not your back. The trial could increase because we people do not eat according to principles and method. Every statement of physicians, that is, doctors, is not wrong. They do have their own researches. One should not follow that which contradicts Sharia. That which does not contradict Sharia is fine. If one understands it, he may act upon it. Sometimes there are benefits in it. But if someone drinks water, we will not say that he became sinful or is doing something impermissible, because it is not like that. Then, doctors' theories keep changing. Doctors have their own opinions. Those change. Their researches keep changing. Sometimes they say something, then later say something else. Like earlier, we used to hear that the yolk of the egg contains cholesterol. Now they say it does not contain cholesterol. It is fine. Eat the yolk. Then someone will say that cholesterol is in the white part. Then we will also lose the white part. But so far, to my knowledge, no one has said that the white part contains cholesterol. Now, the issue is that we eat grains. This disease of diabetes is called a dietary disease. Do not eat flatbread. Do not eat rice. Do not eat grains. I mean, wheat, such a harmless thing. Every person eats wheat, flatbread, wheat, or whatever you call it. Now it is said that it contains 60% sugar. So now where should a person go? Medina. And sugar is so common here in our region. In Pakistan, I mean, according to the information I have, every third person has diabetes. In Pakistan, it is not even known. And children, even little children, are declared diabetic. There is so much diabetes. I do not eat sweets, though I do eat flatbread and rice. So I got diabetes. I myself was surprised that I was diagnosed with diabetes. I hardly ever eat sweets. Sometimes just a tiny bit, some small sweet thing, some sweet dish, I take a spoon or two fearfully. I got diabetes. So I have a strong suspicion, a powerful suspicion, that I got diabetes from medicines. It was either due to medicine or because of stress. It also happens due to tension. I have no tension about my livelihood, though a person does have some tension or the other. But generally speaking, what they call high tension, currently I do not have any such thing. If there was, now gradually a person becomes used to it. Now, I got diabetes. I mean, you can say that I became a diabetic patient. I don't know where it entered from. Now, during this, I came to know that there is sugar in rice. We had heard of the rice, then wheat has sugar. In barley and millet, there is sugar in everything. Now, what should one eat? Anyway, nowadays, I eat gram flour flatbread. I eat the flatbread made with gram flour and barley flour mixed. And your information will benefit greatly from this, inshallah. Rice, now doctors have this strange method, an interesting method. Add more water when cooking rice, not just a little water, more water. Boil it. And that water, I mean, do whatever you want with it. Now, when the water is removed and the rice is boiled, whether one eats that rice as is or makes biryani or khichdi or pulao, this rice will not cause sugar. Sugar in it will be quite minor. Sugar will be very little. So I started eating rice this way, and I eat it daily. Yes, almost daily I eat rice. And that flatbread made with gram, etc. Generally, I eat half a flatbread. Of course, it is hard to swallow, so I eat rice. Alhamdulillah, my sugar became normal. Although I did not take any medicine. The doctor had advised taking medicine, but I am already afraid of medicine. Once it enters, then it does not leave sometimes. So I did not take any medicine, alhamdulillah. I just avoided. I was already avoiding sweets and other things. So by Allah's mercy, my sugar went away. I mean, the report of sugar came as normal. I could not believe how it became like this, alhamdulillah. So I mean, I could not believe it. What should I do, brother? Then my son, Haji Raza, had given me a machine. Now I did not know how to test with it. Coincidentally, today the doctor tested it. So he also said, mashallah, your random, that is after eating and drinking, was 182. He said, it is normal. It is excellent. So like this, by the mercy of Allah, that report was not wrong. It means that it got covered very quickly. So it is the same thing. The best medicine among 100 medicines is precaution. Now, for example, if I give sweets to someone, to a sugar patient, he will say, no, but it is from your hands, right? To please the nafs, this is tabarruk. So this tabarruk, whether it sends to the hospital or to the grave, it is not to be missed. The actual issue is of the nafs. Water is also tabarruk. Just look how much water one drinks. Sweet things are appealing. Tabarruk, that's appealing to the heart. So anyway, if a person takes precautions, then it makes a difference. May Allah Almighty make this difference last. Now what happens is, when it becomes like this, then the person's heart becomes a bit fearless, thinking, now whatever comes, let it come. So anyway, inshallah, the effort is the same. Alhamdulillah, that we must avoid it, must be cautious. But being a human, the nafs is also with us, saying, now nothing is wrong with me. Oh, this sweet dish. Oh, nice, nice, nice. Oh, so-and-so gave it. Let me eat a bit. My mother used to say, like if something happened to me, flu or so, and if I ate something sour or cold, like kulfi, then she would say, I forbade you, then why do you eat? Mother, I ate just a little bit. So she would say, son, how much is medicine? Medicine is also a small amount. So anyway, you should adopt this precaution. Now, whatever happens to me, my mind is made up. If any sweet dish comes here, I have to escape it. If I give an inch, the nafs will grab the whole mile. Understand? And then it will make me stand in line. So one must be cautious and continue to take precautions. So the rice method, if Islamic sisters are listening, they should try this rice method, inshallah. Now, this has been my experience.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
That you may eat rice with pleasure, but in the method I described, whether you eat biryani or pulao, but not zarda. Okay, in zarda, white sugar is added, which is in a way sweet poison.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My name is Ghulam Yasin. My question to Amiri Ahli Sunnat is it permissible to use modern equipment to check the health of a baby before birth? Kindly guide. Jazakallahu khaira.
This ultrasound, etc., that they do, this is what is being asked about. So in this regard, for the purpose of treatment, one may undergo an ultrasound. But when it is done just to find out the gender as to whether it is a boy or a girl, nowadays they do it for this purpose. So this is impermissible. Yes, in this there is unveiling, clear and open unveiling. So if you say, but it is a woman, then unveiling in front of a woman does not become permissible either. Even if a man uncovers himself in front of another man, that too is impermissible. In the same way, if a woman uncovers in front of another woman, that too remains impermissible.
My request in the court of Amir Ahle Sunnat is that, if, for example, some people get an ultrasound purely for treatment purposes, and at that time, the gender of the baby is sometimes asked about. Firstly, please state the Shari ruling regarding this, and also advise whether one should do this or not.
They get it done for treatment purposes.
They got an ultrasound done for treatment, which the doctor said had to be done regarding the baby. But during that process, it becomes known to them. They get an assumption, an estimation as to whether it is a boy or a girl. So during that process, they find out that it is a boy or a girl.
This was learned incidentally.
Yes.
If it is learned incidentally, then what harm is there in it?
But what advice would you give? Because sometimes people get into stress when told it is a girl, and then other matters start to unfold. So, what is your advice on this?
Yes, the thing is that Allah Almighty has kept this information hidden. In it, there is His wisdom. We are trying to interfere in that wisdom. Not knowing is also a form of well-being because people start stressing beforehand. Now, whatever Allah gives, labbaik, we accept. This is a test. And whatever condition Allah keeps a person in, he should remain pleased. Allah gives sons to some, daughters to others. Some get both, some get none. Whatever condition Allah keeps a person in, he should remain content.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Main Ahmad Ali Nizami Attari, Nepal se. Mero prashna yo cha bapa ko bargama. कि केही मान्छेहरूले भन्छन् कि इस्लामिक शिक्षा धेरै गाह्रो छ र यसमा धेरै कुराहरू बार्नुपर्ने हुन्छ केही यही कारणले गर्दा मुसलमानहरू आफ्नो प्रगतिमा पछाडि परिरहेका छन् के यो हाम्रो विकासमा पछाडि पर्नुको कारण सही हो या अरू कुनै कारण छ होला
His question is, some people say that there are too many restrictions and hardships in Islamic teachings, and that's why Muslims have lagged behind in the race for progress. Please provide guidance on this. Is Islam really a hindrance to progress, or is the reason something else? At present, by the grace of Allah, there are two Jamiatul Madina, one Darul Madina, and eight Madarisul Madina established in Nepal. Especially, Sheikh, please make dua for the progress of religious activities in Nepal.
You yourself have already answered your own question, right? That in our Nepal, it is like this and like that regarding achievements. If Islam had been a hindrance, then this progress wouldn't have occurred. right? Actually, it is we who do not act. I mean, we make mistakes, we fall short, and then we put the blame on Islam. How can that be? Islam is a complete and perfect religion. When my master, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, proclaimed Islam, what used to happen before that? Daughters used to be buried alive. There was an atmosphere of mutual killing and bloodshed. There was complete ignorance. Islam came and made them human. And Islam, at the time when Muslims had religious honor and were practicing, at that time, Islam gained such outward success as well that the world was left stunned. Sayyiduna Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, his rule was established over half the world. At that time, there were no aeroplanes, no motor cars, no trains. How did this happen? Half the world came under his rule. His caliphate's authority was stamped and half the world came under his command. Even now, no one has half the world. Despite all claims of progress, no one has half the world. Everyone has their own country, or some by bullying try to dominate another country a little. That's it. Otherwise, all are fighting each other, tearing each other down, devouring one another. Understand? So it is Islam which raised man to the heights of humanity. So alhamdulillah, there is progress in Islam. There is no hindrance. The hindrance lies in our actions only. Our character has become corrupt, so we have fallen into the pit of disgrace. We abandoned prayers, abandoned good deeds, and sins have become so widespread. Thefts, robberies, whatever you say, is not enough. We are doing so much that we've fallen behind. Secondly, I mean, the non-Muslims became dominant over us. So this means Islam is not weak, we are weak. Even today, if we become strong, then all will fall under our hands. May Allah make our actions strong, our faith strong, and our beliefs strong. And a Muslim should not say that there is weakness in Islam or that Islam is a hindrance. Otherwise, then the muftis will tell whether such a person remains a Muslim or not. These are serious matters. If someone insults Islam, then he can't remain a Muslim, right? This liberal class, and even within that, there are many types. So the completely stubborn and rigid type say things like this. Sometimes they say hijab is a hindrance. Sometimes this is a hindrance. Sometimes that is a hindrance. Whereas these are not hindrances. Islam gave Muslims glory, and the past history of Muslims is in front of us. Alhamdulillah, Muslims achieved so much outward worldly progress at that time. But gradually, as actions decreased, shortcomings increased, they kept falling behind. But Islam is still standing in its place, firmly established. If Allah grants us a bounty, and Allah granted us the blessing of Islam, how can there be any weakness in such a blessing from Allah? A Muslim cannot even think like that.
Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
My name is Babar Ali Attari and I have come from Atlanta, USA. My question in the court of Amir Ahl Sunnat, Hafizahullah, is that the believers will get as a prize, as a jaza, the Jannah. But what will the animals and the other creations like jinns, they will get as a prize or jaza in the Jannah? Jazakallahu khair.
Well, in this matter, just as humans are accountable, bound by the commands of Allah and the Messenger, similarly, jinns are also bound by the commands of Allah and the Prophet. Animals are not accountable. They are not bound. So the human is bound to embrace faith. This is his obligation. If he does not embrace faith, then he will remain in hell forever. Now for the Muslim, paradise is the reward. And jinns, since paradise is the estate of Ibn Adam, the children of Adam, it is not for the jinns. For the jinns, there is a place between paradise and hell, Araf. The righteous jinns will remain in Araf. Believing righteous jinns will remain in Araf, and to visit paradise, they will be able to go. As for animals, they do not even possess intellect. They are not accountable at all. Yes. If animals also oppress another animal, like hitting, then its recompense will be taken on the day of judgment. No oppression is forgiven. It is not even forgiven to an ant.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ami Muhammad Abu Hanif Attari, Bangladesher Chattogram theke, 7 diner international ijtemay ongshogrohon korechi. প্রিয় আমিরুল সুন্নাত দামাত বরকাতমুল আলিয়া, আপনার কাছে আমার প্রশ্ন, মাইক চেক করার জন্য আল্লাহ আল্লাহ এবং দুরুদে পাক পাঠ করা কেমন?
Abu Hanif Attari is asking a question. He is an Islamic brother from the city of Chittagong, Bangladesh. The English summary of his question is, what is the ruling on repeating sacred words like Allah, Allah, or reciting Durood during mic check?
Well, this is a very good question. This has been mentioned before as well. The answer is that Allah, Allah, or Durood Sharif, or
Salatu Wassalamu Alaikum Ya Rasulullah,
all these are types of zikr. It is written in Bukhari Sharia that while displaying one's goods, saying Subhanallah or Durood Sharif during that time, these phrases of zikr should not be uttered. It is not permissible to do zikr at that time. So this is my testing, actually. I mean, those who are not in our environment say, hello, hello, testing, hello. So here we say Allah, Allah, and recite Durood Sharif. They say, hello, hello, testing, hello. That is correct here. It is not the occasion of zikr, because zikr is not the objective here. Rather, the announcement is the objective. There should be words of announcement. Now, for example, like Medina, Medina. So these words are not specified for zikr. So here, for testing, if one says these words, Medina, yes, brother, can you hear me? Medina, 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 can you hear me? Then it can be done this way, because this word Medina is not intended for zikr. Otherwise, Durood Sharif and Allah, Allah, these are not allowed. I have already forbidden this before too. But even now, it is still somewhat common among us. This Bangladeshi has reached you and understood.
MashaAllah.
He has asked the question. I understood their question. I was enjoying it because he has asked a very beautiful question. So now this must be completely abandoned. Repentance must be done, not for testing. Likewise, if to draw someone's attention, one loudly says, Allah, Allah, or recites Durood Sharif so that he turns around and looks. If attention is the objective, then even here it will not be allowed. Zikr will be for zikr. It will be for the pleasure of Allah. It will not be for an announcement. Announcement is a separate matter, and zikr is a separate matter. Well, now perhaps someone may have a question later that when scholars, etc. come, then the slogan of takbir is raised, Allahu Akbar. This too is zikr. Here too it is an announcement. Now it is like it is customary. It has been forbidden, but it is such a common custom that scholars do not speak anything against it. They do not call it impermissible. However, it is zikr. In fact, in Bukhari Shariat, it is written that doing zikr upon someone's arrival so that people come to know that he has come has been prohibited.
Actually, using Allah's name in a place where it does not belong, so for this reason, if the objective is to show someone respect through zikr, then that too will be forbidden. If it is being done to give information, then that too will be forbidden. It will not be allowed.
Now, for example, when I come and they say, may there be a shower of light. Now, this is a complete supplication. This is zikr. This is not the occasion for it. I mean, if the intention is that people come to know that he has arrived, if in reality the intention is to give a supplication, then there is no harm. If the intention is truly to give a supplication, may there be a shower of light.
Actually, in essence, everything depends on intentions, just like the mic matter was discussed now.
The occasion now is such that slogans like long live are raised. They are giving me a supplication. May there be a shower of light. And this because Dawat Islami is such a vast organization, and so much so that it has its own customs. This is its own custom. So among us, this is a custom. They give me a supplication. May there be a shower of light. So this is already in the mind. This too seems appropriate that they are not giving a supplication. And here their objective is not information. It is just that in their enthusiasm, they raise this slogan. They give a supplication. Apparently, it seems like this.
Actually, everything will depend on intention. For testing, like they say, they do zikr of Allah. So if they make the intention of Allah's zikr there, if they make the intention of Durood Sharif in it, then rulings will start to change accordingly. Therefore, caution lies in adopting the manner which scholars have explained in books.
Among the Sunnis, the thing is that they have to produce some sound. They cannot manage without it. So if we try to stop them here, they will invent something else. It will become burdensome to contain it. But still, the effort should be made that even this slogan about the shower of light should not be raised. The supplication, it is better to give it from the heart. Besides, in absence, supplication is more accepted. Giving a supplication behind someone's back, I called it a supplication. Otherwise, where would the attention be? Only the slogan is being raised.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
ta'ala. Jina langu Muhammad Hussein Al-Madani kutoka Kenya, Mombasa. Swali langu kwa Amira Ahli Sunna ni kwamba mtu akiwa hafati sheria za traffic barabarani, je, kuna makosa yote katika dini yetu ya Kiislamu? Shukran wa jazakallahu khairan.
His name is Muhammad Hussein Utari. He is from Mombasa, Kenya, and he is, mashallah, the head of Dawati Islami in Taita Taveta, which is a county in Kenya. And alhamdulillah, he is also a Madani. Apart from this, he teaches Madrasatul Madina for adults daily. And in addition to that, he also conducts a Faizani Namaz course, the course of prayer according to the Shafi'i school. Alhamdulillah, he conducts it from time to time and is conducting it. Alhamdulillah, his question is the violation of traffic laws also a crime in the sight of Sharia?
All the worldly laws that do not contradict Sharia, one should adhere to them. Especially those laws must be adhered to strictly, the neglect of which causes a person to fall into trouble. He gets caught, then lies, then has to give a bribe or becomes humiliated in front of everyone. So in this way, it is mentioned in a blessed hadith to not present oneself for humiliation. So to present oneself for humiliation is haram. It is a sin. In traffic laws too, when one gets caught, he indeed presents himself for humiliation. For example, like here among us, there are a number, I am talking about Pakistanis. I do not know about those abroad. There are a number of them who ride motorbike without a license. So now many times we have explained that this too is a matter of presenting oneself for humiliation, that sometimes they do get caught. When they get caught, then they must be lying that the license was left at home or it is lost or such and such thing. Then they must be getting away by giving some bribe. This is haram upon haram. Lying is haram, then giving bribe is also haram. So for the future, they will promise that now they will keep it. In their minds, they know that they won't. If someone catches us, we will give something and get away. Who will make a license? It has its own procedure. So this is sin upon sin. He made a false promise. A false promise is that it is already decided beforehand that I will not fulfill what I am saying. So this is called a breach of promise. So now how many sins has he committed following worldly law? Earlier, there were no motorbike. There were horses and camels. So there were no such licenses for them, right? Nor were there one way and such. Now this one way law, when we think about it, its benefits are for us. This one way law is very understandable. If there were no one way, then whoever wished would go from wherever. Vehicles would crash daily. Who knows how many deaths would occur in it and how much loss there would be. There are many other such laws too, in which there are only benefits for us. So, the law that does not contradict Sharia, one should act upon it.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakara. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakara.